Hello, Internet.
It's Tori. You're listening to the Cosmere Deep Dive Podcast. To join the discussion, visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/CosmereCast, where you'll find an invitation to our Discord server. Thank you for listening, and please enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome to the Cosmere Deep Dive Podcast. I'm your host, Mike. Joining me this week are Craig.
Hello.
Dave.
You can just edit this part out.
And Tori.
Hello, Internet.
And we start everything with good thing and with thing and thing, and Craig does good.
Yeah, I'll try to do good. My wife and I started playing Planet Crafter. I have mentioned this as a good thing before. It recently was quote-unquote released, but we can play multiplayer, which is always a positive. It's pretty fun. It was a good thing before. There's a lot more content now. We're just working our way through. It's the first time she has played, so pace is a little bit slower than what I've played before. But yeah, it's pretty good. It works very well multiplayer, so if you need a co-op, come. It's not really idle, but it is like a calm, like I want to terraform the world. And sometimes you watch the numbers go up, you put your oxygen generators or whatever out and you're watching numbers go up, or you're going to go explore and do stuff and all of a sudden, whoa, I just unlocked a bunch of stuff and it's a lot of fun. The neat thing is watching the planet actually change as, you know, you terraform the planet. So as a quick, very quick recap, the premise is you're on a barren planet, which just has some resources, and that's it. It is a crafting survival type game, and you are terraforming the planet. You build different machines and stuff that you unlock over time to, you know, increase the pressure, the heat, and the oxygen content on this planet. And as these numbers go up, you get to see different things, like it'll start raining, lakes will start forming, grass will start forming, like all this other fun stuff. And there's a lot of stuff to do, a lot of things to explore. It's really cool. It's called The Planet Crafter.
I have seen Fruit Bats play that.
Yeah. I think that might have been where I got the game from originally.
I'm into Fruit Bats, the streamer.
I also like Fruit Bats, the animals.
Yeah.
They're way cooler than Microbats.
They're both good things, I think.
Have you seen those little cotton ball bats?
I have.
They're so cute.
They are. Most bats are pretty cute. Dave, have a good thing.
My good thing this week is a cartoon. It's about a bird and a squirrel that sounds like Billy West but isn't Billy West. I looked it up. It's called Regular Show. And yeah, it's...
Is he a squirrel? I thought he was a raccoon.
I don't know. He's one of them like mouses with the black rings around his eyes. One of them squirrels, but like it's a squirrel, but without a bushy tail and with like a black mask looking thing on his face.
So, raccoon.
So, not at all a squirrel then.
Yeah. The raccoons, I think they call them. So, yeah, it's pretty funny. They're just like, they're always trying to slack off and they get in trouble. And there's a Yeti voiced by Mark Hamill, and he's pretty great.
And their boss is a gumball machine.
Yeah. And the boss of the rival park is a regular candy vending machine. Yeah, pretty funny. There's this one part where their boss tells them to go pick up donuts for their party or whatever. And he's like, get me a whole wheat donut. And I think Mordecai, he's like, you mean a bagel? he said it funnier than I did.
Well, you know who else thinks Regular Show is funny? My mom.
My mom. That's a
Tori. Tori appears to be not entertained at all by this. There's a character
joke
on the show named Muscle Man, who responds to most things with, "You know who else things thing? My mom." Yeah,
but I thought you were gonna say my nephew Dashiell. He likes that show. He's the one that got
me sure
into
he
it.
Does.
He and his dad both like it.
It's fun.
And my other brother, that's not Dashiell's dad, likes it somewhat. I don't know how much Dan has watched it, but we were watching it all. We were all three of us together watching it and having some good time playing some The Crew.
Yeah. So I think it's up. I think it's me.
Oh, it's a good thing.
Yeah, good thing. So my good thing this week is this shirt that I just got from a Milwaukee Milkman game. Tori, would you like to describe this shirt?
Okay, so this appears to be a blue bull of some kind. It's a neon blue. It has a bright yellow snout. And there's little bits of neon pink. And is that neon green or is it more yellow? I can't tell from the camera. Anyway, it's very colorful.
There is some green and some yellow.
Okay. And underneath the bowl, it says Lecheros de Milwaukee in a very fantastic, or should I say fabulous font. Very fabulous font.
So yeah, I went to a Milwaukee Milkmen game, and usually with baseball games, there's some sort of theme or whatever for it. This time was Mexican Fiesta, which is a celebration of, you know, folks with Mexican heritage in the Milwaukee area.
That very much comes across from the design of the shirt.
And so for this game, instead of being the Milkmen, they were the, pull it up so I don't screw it up, Lecheros de Milwaukee.
Yeah, Delaware, Milwaukee.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a great game. They lost. Both Milkmen games that I've been to, they have lost pretty badly. This one was 7-2.
Oof.
Real beating. Mm. But it was a lot of fun. And since it's a double A team, which is one step lower than triple A, which is one step lower than Major League, tickets are hecka cheap. So yeah, that was my good thing. This shirt that I got from a Milwaukee Milkmen baseball game. And the stadium they play at is like just up the street from me.
And basically, if you like baseball, but you don't want to spend a lot of money, definitely check out some minor league games.
I don't even like baseball. I just had a lot of fun being there. But now that I have thoroughly doxed myself, Tori, would you like to have a good thing?
This has been a good thing in the past, but I'm gonna repeat some. The summer reading program is over.
Yay!
Woo!
And you did it.
Yeah, at the time of recording, anyway, it is the first Sunday of August, and my summer reading program is the whole of June and the whole of July. So that is over now. It is behind me. I can.
Well, hang on a second. June has a hole in the E. I don't think July has a hole.
I was just at the library today. I took my daughter. We were, you know, doing some reading, doing some computer games.
Okay, Dave, it's in the L, and it's right there.
If it's in cursive and capital,
in cursive,
sure.
L. No, July definitely has to have a hole in it because it's got to be a circle because it went on forever. But it's done now. It's done now. Yay. Other than that, I have spent the past week doing a Marvel movie marathon, and not the MCU, but the stuff that Mike told me to watch last week. I've been watching a bunch of that stuff. So that has been enjoyable. And, you know, a fair half of those movies predate the MCU, but they really were trying to build their cinematic universe as well. I was surprised that, oh yeah, they also have scenes after the credits. Like, MCU didn't invent that. They had
this
back then.
Is this the Deadpool Wolverine homework we're watching here? Okay.
Yeah, it's that homework. And I'm very nearly done with it because I think I've got Dark Phoenix, and then I get to watch the new Deadpool movie. So that's been fun.
In case anyone is currently screaming at your phone right now, but what about New Mutants? I told her to skip New Mutants.
I'm actually not going to skip New Mutants, but it's great to know that I am allowed to.
Okay. Well, you should, like, even for other reasons. It's a mess.
It just, I actually, on all of the lists that I double-checked online, I, like, did a Google search of what should I watch before I watch Deadpool and Wolverine, and that was not on any of the lists that I found. So it's got to be terrible, and then I kind of forgot about it because it wasn't on any of the lists. But they're all on Disney Plus now, so I pulled up Disney Plus, and they have a very helpful, like, at the moment that we're recording, they have a very helpful banner of, you know, Deadpool and Wolverine, that just has all of these movies just in one place. And New Mutants is on there. And when I clicked on it to be like, what is this movie? I didn't, the one that came out in 2020 when we were all not paying attention because other stuff was happening. Just the title picture looks awful.
Okay, this movie is a mess from every standpoint. when it was filmed and edited, and like everything, every aspect of making this movie, except actually putting it out, it was owned by Fox. Between the movie being finished and the movie being released, Fox was purchased by Disney. Hmm. And also 2020 and COVID, and don't put movies out in 2020. But yeah, so just everything about this movie was a mess.
Well, I'll probably let you know what I think about that next week.
Okay. So now we do chapters, Mike and Dave.
Whoa. This is different.
Tagged?
Yeah, Dave was not going to be the alpha reader for this one. I was, and I still am. But Dave has decided that trying to read more than 50 pages in a week is a little too much.
Impossible.
And he doesn't want to do it.
How many,
so,
like Tori's got this summer reading program going. I'm like, I'm a full-grown adult, and I can only read 50 pages a week. These kids probably only read in, like, 15 or 20 pages a week. How much can they get done in 2 months?
I have kids that have earned a 100-book prize. So they have read 100 books.
Oh my
since
gosh.
June 1st.
So they're 5 pages each. Got it.
Yeah, pretty much. And but hey, for my summer reading program, and guys, you don't need to have a library card for it, so you should sign up for it next year. You only have to read 4 books if you're an adult, and audiobooks
easy.
Count, and comic books count, and if you're reading a children's book out loud to a child, that also counts. So
I do a lot of that.
What if I narrate a book on my Twitch stream, and it's possible for children to be? It's possible for children to be listening, but they're not necessarily there.
I would absolutely count that.
What if I played my VOD from Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and listened to myself read it?
That's
to
an
myself.
Audiobook. That All counts. Right.
Yeah, it is an audiobook. Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately, okay, the prizes that my library gives out, most of it is in the form of a coupon book for a bunch of cool stuff around town. So you guys wouldn't get any use out of those. But I could slip you whatever the prize that goes with it is. This year it was a very nice tote bag. Tote bags have featured more than once. But 1 year it was a really cool coffee cup.
All right, so
I'm waiting for Dave to pop out the Homsar I'm a trendy tote bag, but I don't think he's gonna.
I was raised by a cup of coffee.
I'll hit you guys with the sales pitch again next year before it starts.
I mean, I'm going there anyway, so I didn't realize adults could sign up for it too.
I don't know about your library, but at my library, it's for all ages.
You're going to Torytown?
Torytown.
I would drive to Oklahoma to engage in a summer reading program for adults to get a trendy tote bag.
So to put things in perspective for you, Dave, I read multiple books in the span that you're reading one. Like, I read the chapters we're doing, but I'm also reading other books on the other days that I don't have to read this.
That doesn't make... I know how many video games you play. That doesn't add up. What are you doing when you're supposed to be working?
No, I don't work.
Let me get on my Goodreads and tell you how many I've done this...
I'm on my 4th book since last week.
Nice.
Not counting stuff we do for the pod.
Okay, do y'all want to know how many I have read this year, or just for the summer reading program?
Hey, go for the
whole
year.
For the whole year so far.
You're going to have us beat.
I'm at 50.
Nice. Yeah, that definitely has me beat.
I'm at... Hang on.
I just did my reread of Cradle, so I'm definitely in the like realm of 20 books.
Yeah, I'm in the 20 book neighborhood as well, because we finished... What all did we finish this year?
You and me.
For the podcast? Yeah, you and me?
Tress. Oh, I think we finished Tress this year. We started...
Finished this year.
Okay, so I'm at 21, going to be 22 once I finish the book I'm currently on. Because I did Cradle, I did... a reread and the new book of the other Will White series that he's writing right now.
The Last Horizon.
I can't remember the name of. The Night was the two. Yeah, Last Horizon. And then I had a big old don't read gap, because that happens to me a lot. And then I read the first 3 Arcane Ascensions, and I'm on the 4th one.
Mm-hmm.
21 was how many I've read since June 1st.
Sweet. You should read Crater.
You would get it done within a week.
That doesn't even count the children's books, because I track those on a separate Goodreads.
But yeah, read Cradle. You may or may not like it. I have no idea. But you can knock out 12 books in no time.
All right, so I'll set myself a goal. I will finish Small Gods by the end of this year.
Oh, yay. I love it. If that's the only book you finish, great. Well, not great, because you kind of have to finish a different one for this podcast.
Are we finishing Sunlit Man? What? Are we going to finish it this year?
That's the plan, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Wind and Truth comes out November, I think.
That's right? The beginning of December, last I checked. Okay.
Oh, we took a long enough vacation that we don't have to hit the panic mode yet.
Nope, not yet.
No, we get to kick that can down the road, make that future us problem, and then never think about it again.
No, Mike, this is Brandon's problem. He needs to write faster.
He did. He wrote 4 mystery books. Accidentally.
That's the only thing
again.
Saved us.
But they're not all Cosmere.
3 of them are, and that was enough.
All right, so
yeah, from what I've heard, Goodreads is kind of a mess also, just as a functioning website.
Oh, I literally just use it for tracking the books. I don't rate them. I don't write reviews. I don't have a want to read list. I don't do any of that. All I do is mark the books that I read.
So back on track. Yes, just as a question, guys, did you read alternate chapters? I hope we're going to switch off. You're going to read every other chapter, right?
I skipped chapters 2 and 4. Mike read only chapters 2 and 4.
That would be quite.
And we're
going to
piece it together.
Sorry, we didn't plan this out ahead of time. I also skipped chapters 2 and 4.
Oh no, man. We're only doing 1, 3, and 5 this week. Tune in next week when we cover chapters 2, 4, and 6 through whatever.
Good news. I took notes.
Sweet. Ooh.
They're not helpful for recapping the plot. They're not those kind of notes.
Mine are marginally helpful. It's a lot of jokes and theory crafting.
All right, as a prediction before we get into it, I'm going to say Mike already enjoyed this week's chapters more than the summation of Yumi.
That's correct.
Yeah!
Would you like to take a guess why?
There's action!
Stuff and happens.
There's
stuff
action happens. And plot and characters all in the first
everything
5 chapters.
You wanted from a whole book within the first 5 chapters.
And tie-ins.
Stuff happened. I just need stuff to happen. So much stuff didn't happen in Yumi. It was incredible how much stuff didn't happen.
All right, well, let's talk about chapters, Mike and Dave. All
right.
Yeah, you want to start off or you want me to?
Why don't we do bullet points and, Mike, you can summarize.
Okay.
All right. Okay, first of the Sunlit Man, Nomad is condemned, Quantum Skip, Storms, I need more mana to cast Translation, BEU, Big Emerald Utility, Beryllium Europide, Broad Enough Underwear, Blasting Explosion Ultima,
I like that one.
Boingy Elastic Umbrella, Brandon Energy Unit, Breath
like
Ephemeral
too.
Usage, I like mine better than what it actually turned out to be. I wrote this whole list, and then I was like, oh, wait, the standard for measuring Investiture is probably something equivalent to breaths. And I somehow
something
didn't come up
equivalent
with
breath. To breath.
I didn't come up with breath equivalency unit. Even though I think this term actually came up before, and I just forgot about it. Was this one, like, Lost Metal or something?
I don't think we've seen it
this
before.
This is new. This is new in this book.
Okay, I think Brandon Energy Unit is probably the best.
People have used it in the fandom. They talked about breaths as a good energy amount of unit. This is when it's finally canonized.
Okay, but they're not Brandon Energy Units.
I mean,
they should
as well
be. We should just call them that.
I'm going to call them Pew! All right, Torment. I forgot how Brandon likes to throw out a bunch of vocabulary in the introductory chapter. The Emberlit Man. Aux's voice is narratingly monotonous. Nomad is like doing reverse Night Radiant progression? The Nightblood Brigade. How does guy know about plugs anyway? Aux is a Deadeyes. Wait, Delaware can turn into a shard
Delaware.
Crowbar? Says DE. Maybe I meant Germany. Deadeyes can turn into a shard crowbar? Nomad turns into Ghost Rider.
Is this all the first chapter?
Yeah.
Like, I read it, but I don't remember this much happening in one chapter.
By the way...
Is there more of the first chapter?
No, this is second of the Sunlit Man after that. So, gotcha. I will say, by the end of chapter... Like, halfway through chapter two, I figured out who Nomad is. So, if Mike doesn't want to get spoiled, don't look at my bullet points.
I kind of already had it spoiled for me, but I was trying to sort of... My notes are based on, like... What are we being told about Nomad?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And like, what can we, you know, glean from that? I didn't want to just jump straight into, oh, I read somewhere accidentally that the main character of this book is this character, and
yeah.
But I didn't want to do that.
I think I maybe pieced it together halfway through chapter two, so maybe that was a little bit faster, but it's, if you've read other works by Brandon Sanderson that this character is in, it's probably going to be pretty obvious, maybe even by the end of this week's chapters.
So we'll see what you have to say, Dave, since Mike technically already knows.
Oh.
All right. So what happened in chapter one is we got a guy named Nomad who skipped in. What does that mean? Not super clear. Maybe it's some kind of instantaneous travel between planets. I don't know. But he's running from something called the Night Brigade.
Nightblood Brigade.
Yes. He wakes up, can't remember who he is, where he is, what's going on.
Oh, boy.
But that all comes back. Oh, boys. And he hopes that the next jump will be the one that takes him home.
Skip.
His Ziggy is...
I get that reference. All of them.
Or not Ziggy. What is the guy's name?
Al?
Al.
Yeah. His Al is a guy named Ox, who is a voice in his head that can turn into a crowbar sometimes.
He's an ox whenever named he has guy.
Whenever he has Blue. Enough Brandon energy units, but he doesn't have enough. He has very few.
I think it's actually chapter two. We find out it takes. I think Ox said 5% of a skip is 1,000 views.
1,500. He has 1,500 currently.
He has 1,500. How many does a skip take? I think he said. I think it's 20,000.
It was like 10,000 or something.
I think it's 20,000 because he said 5%.
It's 20,000. Yeah.
Yeah, 5% is like 8%. The threshold where he gets his like that's his like normal baseline that he wants to always be above 5%, which is a 1,000 breaths, which is 5% of a skip.
And Nightblood only took 1,000 breaths, so this is 20 Nightbloods.
Oh, also, just like Nightblood, Ox is the main character of this book, and he knows it.
Well,
yes. No, that is 100% accurate. So he finds out that he's in a group of people that are about to get killed and doesn't want to be part of that group. So I read this yesterday, and I'm already blanking on what happened. What does he do? He hooks onto a bike as it's leaving.
Yeah, he turns...
They have hover bikes.
So he can't turn Ox into a weapon because of his, quote, torment, which I have a theory on we'll get to soon. But he can turn Ox into tools. Can't turn him into weapons, but he can turn him into tools. So first, he uses a crowbar to pry himself off the sticky ground or something. I don't remember. But then he turns Ox into... like a grappling hook with a chain sort of deal, and hooks him onto like a hover bike that's flying away from the sunrise, which will annihilate everything as it comes up.
Oh, also the plants are growing super duper fast and glowing, and then they're about to get sun melted.
Yeah, sunlit, if you will. Sunlit mandrakes.
So, chapter one.
So I was wondering what type of Spren auxiliary was, but... having probably figured out who the character is, I think I know the answer to that. So we'll circle back around in chapter two.
Hold on. Our chat has some good stuff. Sunmelt Man, Sunny Side Up Man.
Excellent.
Thank you, CTS Johns. If you would like to join in and listen to us record live and be able to provide some great zingers like that, go to patreon.com/CosmereCast and pay us some money, please. You don't have to join the Discord, but you do have to join the live recording.
Yeah, give us money and give us material for our podcast, please.
Yeah, that sounds good, Dave. Yeah. Chapter Second of the Sun.
Second of the Sunlit Man. Are we doing... So I'll just read my notes and Mike reads his notes. Is that the cadence here?
My notes don't have anything relevant to the plot. My notes are...
Okay.
Are science-y stuff.
Okay. That moon is moving. Kind of.
That's no moon. It's a space station.
All right, kind of random to bring this up here, but that bit where the Spren threatened Vani to make her stop experimenting is like that scene in Toy Story where Woody freaks out Sid. The motorcycles landed on a floating city. Some dude takes off his glove and is surprised that he isn't Rogue. Is Sigzil? Break time. All right, so a couple things. This is why I think it's Sigzil. First of all, he's from Roshar. Like, that's the most obvious thing. Second of all, he has a mentor that if he acts like him, he's afraid he'll say something cringe, so his mentor is obviously Hoid. We know that Hoid took Sigzil under his wing. Nomad is described as being dark-skinned here. And also, he has a dead eyes, which would make sense because if Sigzil's here, he probably abandoned his oaths as a Windrunner, right? So... kind of putting all that together. My only thing is, like, Auxiliary doesn't sound like an Honor Spren name, but what do I know? And that's the end of Second of the Sunlit Man, which Mike got.
Okay. So I would like to jump into my notes now, which is just things I noticed to try to put things together here. So Nomad is definitely from Roshar. Mm-hmm. Ox is a dead Spren, definitely a Spren that can become a shard blade, or shard tool in this case, perhaps a dead eye that has been brought back to awareness. I'm assuming we don't have a narrator, and instead the non-dialogue parts are Nomad's thoughts. That was confirmed very quickly after I wrote that.
And
guys, we don't have Hoid as a narrator. How much better is that?
Hooray! I'm glad.
I think we got it. We got what we needed from him.
Yep. I think Hoid was fine in Tress, like, as a narrator, but yeah, I'm glad. I need a break.
But the best parts about Hoid narrating Tress were the parts that Hoid was actually in and he was narrating about himself.
Yes.
Yeah.
And since he didn't actually do anything in Yumi, we didn't get that.
Which is why design was the worst part of the book.
And design could have been the narrator. That would have worked.
That would have been fun if she was the narrator.
Maybe she'll do a sequel.
Continued notes. Far future of the Cosmere, nuclear reactors. Nuclear reactors, police batons, breaths are a known quantity and are used to measure investiture. Nomad's torment, perhaps something similar to what prevents Hoid from harming people? I'm certain Nomad isn't Hoid. He thinks in Roshar and cursing, which Hoid doesn't do, and his Spren is not design. Nomad has levels that unlock new powers, similar in concept but very different in execution from heightenings. Need to learn more about skipping, seems to be a way to travel very long distances instantly without going through the cognitive realm. And Nomad has been to Ashen. End of notes.
Wanted to say, it did sound like, I did kind of pick up that he was on Ashen. At one point thought that he was a herald because he was talking about, like, being tortured or something.
He talks
I didn't
about
mean
the
Ashen. I meant Brace. But anyway, one thing I forgot to mention here I have in my long parenthetical at the end is... I actually likened the torment to a Night Watcher curse. It seemed more like just kind of like randomly. Now that Mike's saying it's kind of like Hoid's thing where he could try to get around saying where the sorceress's lair was, but couldn't.
No. Not that one.
Oh, the statue one.
No, Hoid can't harm people.
Yeah, Hoid is
says who?
Pacifist because he held a Dawn Shard at one point.
He did
he physically can't harm.
He physically can't harm people.
He has to use his words to hurt people.
But he can cognitive realmly harm people, as we've seen.
Yes, which was he was very surprised that he was able to do that. And he was like, "Oh, some exercise. Here we go."
Why didn't you guys tell me this before?
We totally did. We talked about it during Secret History.
Why didn't I remember this? All right, I was like barely sentient when we did that book. Like,
Dave's just a baby, Dave.
Yeah, this is just a baby Cosmere fan, you know. I didn't know what Sifandrius meant.
If it's the same thing, I'm betting Hoid is much more used to it and is very good at not triggering the muscle lockups.
Has found
if that's
all
what's going
the loopholes,
on.
All of them.
Yeah.
Hoid would find all the loopholes to that.
Or maybe he just tests it every once in a while, like when he took a swing at Kelsier. Like, he was fully expecting to lock up and didn't. He was like, yay, I get to do violence.
So when they first gets to the floating city, he likens it to visiting another planet in Roshar. Okay, we know it's Roshar. Roshar system. And that's why we know it's not Braze, because everything we're described of Braze is like, it's basically hell. Whereas Ashen is a question mark, and apparently we learn floating cities.
Well, it's an official question mark, but we've known for a while that it's supposed to be where this one story is set that has floating cities.
Yeah.
Wait, what has...
That's Word of Brandon stuff.
Oh, Ashen has floating cities.
There's a short story that he talks about where people get powers from holding diseases, and apparently they also live in floating cities. And we know that it's set at Ashen. But that's not canon. However, this book at least mentions it. There's a reference to it. So at least it's setting it up.
Perhaps it reminds you, Dave, of the many times we've talked about this with you.
No. It reminds me of another work of fiction. Am I just thinking of symbiotes from Spider-Man? I'm thinking of something where, like, someone has a disease or, like, a virus or something that, like, enhances them. But the Neverending Story?
No, it's not that.
Maybe it was an episode of Star Trek, actually. It's probably
an
episode
of Star Trek. It sure seems like a thing that that has to have been done before, but I can't think of it.
Anyway, the name of the story is The Silence Divine, but it is not as of yet published. It was probably written already like several times and just needs a rewrite to actually be published, or possibly get attached to a bunch of other short fiction that Brandon needs to write to do that one book, part two.
Is that Silence from the Cosmere, or Silence the City from F-Zero, or The Silent from Doctor Who?
None of the above.
All of the above.
Wasn't Silence like a ghost blood or something? Isn't that some ghost blood's name?
Silence from the Witches and Werewolves world?
No, that was Forest for Silence. And yeah, Silence. Yeah, her.
Yeah, her name was Silence.
She'd be a good ghost blood, I think.
That's like.
All right, guys. I just want to remind everyone, because I feel like you may have forgotten, Dave has read everything.
This is not a bit. This is how my brain works. All right,
let's keep going.
We'll check and see what Sigzel does in chapter 3, the chapter both Mike and I read.
Sigzel? Who said this was Sigzel?
You
did. Yes, you did.
I did. All right, Third of the Sunlit Man. That moving moon is probably a planet. Is the floating city a Voltron? I knew it. So it's basically the two things that I thought Erythru was. Remember, first I thought Erythru was a floating city, and then I thought Erythru was a Voltron. And this one thing, it actually turns out to be both of those things.
You could still be right about the Voltron thing.
Oh man, that would be so cool.
We only just got a new bondsmith for the tower. So,
dude, I want to see like sibling like get up and like punch some thunderclass in the face. Well, they'll probably have to find something bigger.
Mega thunderclass.
What if the thunderclass are also a Voltron?
Yes.
It's Voltrons all the way down.
Oh man. All right, mud fight. Chubby gap-toothed Dimpleman to the rescue. Dumb tournament dumbbell. Nomad gets cold wrists. So,
okay, so
Mike's going to say stuff.
Nomad has been captured and recaptured, and just he's having a bad time. Now he's put into basically a capture the flag, except the flags are all prisoners. tournament for the presumably the rich and powerful people to watch. But he gets sort of focused on by one of the powerful people.
One of the,
was it an Ember Chest or an Ember Eyes?
She had a chest.
Okay.
Yeah, there was only the one person.
But
she
had a scar. She did have like a. Yeah. She didn't have a glowing eye. She had a chest, and she had like a scar on her face that also glowed.
Okay. So yeah, he gets kind of singled out and does his best to avoid capture, and tricks his torment into letting him create a shard dumbbell and basically crushing her face with it by locking up, while also still on a trajectory to beat her with it, which I don't know that it's a good idea to torment your torment like that. But he's wearing these bracers that are basically the thing from Thor Ragnarok that they were able to push a button and shock him and nah.
Wait, did I say but what I thought cold. The torment was, or was I about to, and then I just said what you thought it was?
I don't think you did.
Yeah, you didn't say.
Please go ahead.
Okay, I thought it was a Night Watcher curse.
Oh yeah, you did say that.
Did I say that? Okay.
What would the boon be?
Well, maybe we'll find out in chapter 4.
Okay. But yeah, he also gets captured, and we move on.
So I will point something out, Dave. You definitely figured out Nomad's identity a lot faster.
Oh my gosh, there's no way it's Sigzil. You guys are pulling my chain again. My shard chain.
I'm the only one who knows, Dave.
You said Mike.
I mean,
credit.
I was leaning toward Sigzil as well. I've not finished the book, but I was like,
okay,
yeah,
well,
it's probably Sigzil.
Evidence we've gotten already, besides the stuff already covered, is he was a scholar. He stopped being a scholar. He had a master who liked to joke, and he didn't like to joke. Who else could that be? It's either Sigzil or somebody we haven't met yet.
Yeah, and you have definitely met this character before, so that's
so it's Sigzil.
It's Sigzil. So it's Nomad.
100%, it's Sigzil. What happened before he got to here? I don't know.
Craig's just glad Sigzil got a name that's easier to pronounce.
I'll still mess up Nomad, don't worry.
So anyway, chapter 4 for Nemod.
Thanks, Mike.
Example speech. Nomad seems pretty obsessed with protecting those who can't protect themselves. I'm guessing this is how they make ember peoples. Gappy! Nomad wants to get stabbed with investiture, but instead a ship explodes. The end. That was a short book. I think we did find out at the end when he's trying to, like, when he's trying to absorb the investiture from the spear. I think that's when he mentions that he made a deal where he could absorb different types of investiture. That would be the Night Watcher boon, if my theory is correct.
Okay. So yeah, example speech. He's starting, or not he isn't, but Ox.
Ox.
Is starting to get bits and pieces of the language being spoken. Not nearly enough to be useful, but he can pick up a couple of things. And he's sharing those things, because Ox is great and is the hero of this story.
And he knows it.
Yep, agree.
Yeah. And, yeah, Nomad keeps noticing people that are unable to protect themselves, and he's like, I can't deal with that. I can't do anything for myself. I can't help these people. I can't help these people. Like he's actively fighting against his own instincts, because at the moment, he can't. He is too busy trying to keep himself alive. And then he gets to see someone get stabbed with an ember stick, and then they turn into a glowy heart. And apparently they're mind-controlled or something? I'm not 100% on that.
And they have a more different spear that's, like, white instead of red, and we didn't get to see what that does because Nomad interrupts the ceremony.
Yeah, Nomad's like, hey, stab me next. Take a look. I can make a crowbar, and then I can make my crowbar be not a crowbar, and then it'll be a crowbar again. Don't you want this cool thing that does that? Yeah, so give me the stab.
I guess we should also mention, I don't think that we actually said this yet, but Nomad's first goal right now is to get enough investiture to make a connection to the language.
And also, ultimately, to get enough investiture to not be here anymore.
Right, but he also, if he gets a little bit more investiture, he'll at least be able to communicate. But
so he needs about 2,000 BEUs to form a connection, but I don't think he has to spend that. I think he just has to have that much, so it's like a heightening in that regard. But of course, he needs about 20,000 to do a skip.
And that actually does cost, so he needs 20,000 plus more to get somewhere and then not immediately be murdered. Yeah, so he tries to get stabbed because Ox has this plan where if they try to stab him, he can form a little plate and Ox can absorb the investiture and bing, bang, boom, he's got pews. But a ship, something explodes and they're distracted and chapter.
They get distracted and Fifth of the Sunlit Man. How long of a wire could Ox make? I bet he could plug himself into an outlet and conduct investiture to Nomad.
It's just electricity.
If it's an investiture, invested electricity.
Like a fee online for for example.
Yeah, exactly. Let's put read my mind. I definitely thought of that. No, the jack wouldn't work easily in the mud. Ask Kelsier Newton III. Rescue mission. Dude head gets zapped, but lady is still there. Glowy eyes is back.
So
know any good one-armed country sigil is from Ian jokes? I wasn't paying attention. I think they got away. That's Mike.
Yeah, so in the hustle and the bustle beforehand, Nomad is... He breaks one thumb on one of his hands and manages to slip it out of the thing he's attached to.
Manacle.
Sure. And then can't do the same with the other because it's tighter, so he tries to get Ox to be a shard tool to slip underneath and jack himself up and wrench it open, but it doesn't work very well.
Should also mention, like, a few seconds ago, he actually formed Ox into, like, its true Shardblade form.
Yep, that somehow, was a big deal.
Somehow the Torment let him do that.
Oh, because he wasn't in any way thinking about using it as a weapon.
Yeah, but now he can't...
And he remembered his oaths. Oh, oaths that were once spoken.
That was a big mistake. Wait, where was it?
Yeah, don't do that.
Oh, that was an unstake. So now, yeah, like, he can't even...
Tormenting the torment. Mm-hmm.
He can't even turn Ox into bolt cutters, so... Yeah.
The torment is all,
yeah,
like,
maybe,
fool me
maybe,
once. Mm-mm-mm.
Maybe it was because he was protecting Gappy.
Also, and this is weird, the shard blade doesn't, like, fully cut through a thing. Didn't that seem odd to you guys? That seemed odd to me.
Hmm.
Gonna pull up
did
that.
He use the shard blade to cut something? I thought he just used it for
show. He threw it at like a pillar thing and it only went part way in.
Well, but we've seen that happen before, yeah. in on Roshar. That wasn't too unusual.
Anyway, I was fully expecting him to like make a shard rasp and just shard blade cut little bits out.
Okay, so if I can read that part. Ox slammed into one of the pillars on the podium right next to Glowing Eye's head. A 6-foot-long glittering sword, Auxiliary's truest form. It sank deeply into the pillar and hung there, quivering.
This is that like
could,
when...
that could be based on intention, though.
Didn't Ile actually, like, do this with their Oathbringer? Like, just had it sit on her coffee table? Maybe Sadeus did. Like, they just stabbed it into their coffee table and had it chill there.
Yeah, but... they were working on... So, Adolin was working on trying to actually... Throw it, but keep it
no,
out.
No. I'm just. It definitely wasn't Ile because after Sadeus died,
it was Adolin.
Adolin hid Oathbringer after he killed Sadeus. I forgot about that. But it was like earlier, right after Sadeus got Oathbringer, Sadeus and Ile were like just chilling out in their living room, and they had it like lodged into their coffee table, just chilling there.
I mean, you can. Stab a shard blade into something and it'll stay there. Yeah. Oh, there's baby on camera.
There is
baby.
Some resistance.
Showing up on the camera.
Okay, well, I took that to mean that something was wrong with the shard blade function in general, so. But maybe I'm reading too much. I don't know. I'm only 5 chapters in.
Good night.
What do we have? What are we doing? Who are we talking about?
Kelsier also use...
Oh,
Sylphrena to like climb up a mountainside or something and use her as a handheld.
You mean Kaladin?
Yeah, but Syl's...
Yeah, Kelsier better not be anywhere near Sylphrena.
Syl's not a Deadeye, so she can manifest, like, you know, she could just stay in form. That's not a big deal. Deadeye's just sticking around is different.
But this is also interesting. Go on, Mike.
Ox is and also kind of isn't a Deadeye.
Yeah.
Capable of changing form.
He claims he's dead, but...
Without being dismissed and resummoned.
We only have his word for it.
But his word is monotone, and he's self-conscious about it, too, which is a little more emotion that I'd expect from a Deadeyes. But his monotone voice kind of also makes him seem more Deadeyes-y. Although, Maya Laren couldn't even, like, talk. She would just groan.
Yeah, I'm guessing that Ox is kind of what we'll eventually get out of Maya.
Yeah, I think Adolin, yeah... This is how Adolin's going to get off the hook in Fart Book.
So there's a couple things. There's Sigzel says, Nomad says at one point.
Who?
You think? Do I think? I'm not sure. Depends on your definition. You know, I liked you much better when you were alive. And who is to blame for that? So there's definitely something that has happened here, and he's not a Deadeyes.
Well, we know how to make a Deadeyes, and we see Sigzil continuing to abandon his oath at all but one point in this five chapters.
Speaking of those oaths, so Sigzil manages to, I think, get out of the last manacle by breaking his other thumb and pulling it through the slightly larger gap that he made with the jack. So we're now two thumbs down.
I thought he shot the lock off.
Oh, he shot the lock off. Okay.
Yeah, he used it. So that manacle, his other arm, is connected to a wall, and he like falls, and the wall falls on top of him. But the mud's soft, so he doesn't get like crushed to death.
Yeah.
So he makes a jack, but like, how is the jack gonna work? Like, maybe there's solid ground underneath a smaller layer of mud, and it's like all the way down there. But like, if the mud's soft enough to keep him from being crushed by a wall, it's suspicious how well the jack would work. But maybe it's there's a layer of solid ground underneath the mud, or maybe it's just solid enough that he can barely get
His current bew heightening seems to come with some additional toughness and survivability.
Yeah,
right. He's at like the 5% skip threshold, which gives him some enhancements. Again, not needing to spend that pew, but just having it gives him toughness.
Just like heightening.
Anyway, there's some people on a bike that show up, and he's like, I'm hiding behind my shard shield. And then the guy gets his head exploded, and the girl's like, oh no, his head exploded.
Oh man, Ox totally should have said that.
And so Nomad is like, I have this shield, and you have this bike, and let's leave. And so they don't. Instead, Nomad goes and grabs someone else and throws him on the bike, and then they leave. And he hides. He like ducks behind the driver of the bike and protects her with a shield.
Also,
and they fly away, and the end.
Silver hair lady that was chasing Nomad during the gauntlet was also there, and I think that the rescue team was trying to take her hostage or something. But I think she got left behind. I don't remember.
So, according to your notes, Dave, I will point out that Sigzil is Aegis. Aegis.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard
one. All right, paste this back in there, Mike, or whoever edits this. Know any good one-armed Aegis jokes?
There is another point I have bullet pointed I wanted to point out. If he touched the spear tip to Nomad, he'd be able to absorb the power from it. It was one of the few useful aspects of his torment. Nomad had gained an unusual ability to metabolize nearly any kind of investiture, although he sometimes required auxiliary's help.
Okay, so it doesn't seem like it's a boon that's separate from the curse. It seems like it's all one package together.
It's not like a lift I can eat and create investiture. This is, I could take any form of investiture and store it as a bew.
I'm still not totally writing this off as Night Watcher, because torment could just be a term for old magic in general. So it's like the boon and the curse are together a torment. But it seems less likely when you point that out, but I'm still keeping it on the table.
Cool. All right, so the questions I had for you guys. One, who do you think Nomad is?
Nightblood.
Tori, did you also figure that out, or is this news?
Yeah.
Okay. You guys all beat me in figuring it out. Good job. GG.
I cheated, so I don't count.
I'm honestly very bad at figuring out like these sort of things. Like, it took me a while to figure out what's her name from Lost Metal?
Shy.
I think it took me a while to figure it out. But it takes me a while to like figure it out. But once I do, I'm very solid on it. And I'm still surprised, honestly, on the subreddit when people get to, I think, Oathbringer, when Vivenna pops up. They don't realize that's Vivenna. Like, it's, to me, it was so obvious that that was her, but people are still posting, wait, Vivenna's in this book, or who's that? Who's Azure? I feel like I should know who that is. And I'm like, really? You don't see all the color? Like, I had trouble with Zahiel, whatever, however you pronounce that name. Like, I didn't figure it out until the reread. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so many color metaphors. It's so obvious now. But like on my first read, right over my head. But, you know, I pick out, I notice things.
I was going to say, doesn't he use Awakening? But that was in Words of Radiance.
Well, yeah, but
okay,
by then
on.
I figured it out. Yeah.
Okay, so missing Zale is pretty reasonable because he doesn't sound anything like Vasher.
Mm, right.
Like, Vasher didn't use color metaphors. We figured out later on that that was just translation, like connection-based translation stuff, right?
Right. He's cheating.
Like, the color metaphors would have been already included in what he was saying it on Warbreaker World.
Malthus. Yeah.
But they don't translate super well, so they get translated a little more literally, and yeah. But the other thing is, if you're reading like Craig does, and just wanting to power through and get the whole book done, it's way easier to miss stuff like that because you're not stopping and thinking about things. I only had 5 chapters to cover, so I made a meal out of it. I was like, all right, yeah. He said storms. He's Rosharan. He's talking about nuclear reactors and plugging things into outlets and police batons. Well, this clearly is somewhere far forward in the timeline.
Yep.
You know, things like that. And you're not going to pick those up because you don't care, because you're moving on to the next thing before you have a chance to think about them.
I'll also say that when I was reading Oathbringer, I didn't really have my Worldhopper goggles on. I didn't really know to expect this type of thing.
But now you do.
Yeah, like the only time we really had Worldhoppers were in Pure Lake, and like, it was just like, oh, that was just like a one-off interlude chapter thing. Like, I wasn't expecting Worldhoppers to be like a big thing throughout the series, other than Hoid.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. No, wait.
So I do have a lot of bullet points related to Aux, because I bullet pointing things that I'm like, I need to figure out. So I was highlighting things like skip and BEUs and the way Aux works, so that way I could try to figure it out. So I certainly, on my first read, I certainly noticed things. I'm like, oh, this is interesting, and I would highlight it. So, I mean, I was paying some attention. It's just only partial attention, apparently. Let's see. What was my other question? So, yeah, it was who Nomad is. I guess we could talk about what kind of Spren Aux is. Do we have any guesses?
Honor Spren would be my best guess, because Sigsel was a Windrunner and is responsible for Aux's dead-eyesness.
Same, although again, like Dave said, Aux doesn't seem like a win or an Honor Spren name. It doesn't really seem to fit the
could be his Deadeye's name.
Fit the ones we've seen already.
I was thinking High Spren. I don't remember what, but he said something that made me think. Yeah, it was.
I did too, actually.
It's something about the oaths or the.
I think it was in chapter one, because at the end of chapter one, I wrote in parentheses at the end of chapter one, I wrote Nail Mad.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's because I was thinking Aux was a High Spren.
Okay. Have we heard any other High Spren names? I really don't think we have.
No, because Zeth's High Spren is like, I'm not going to talk to you until you get to a higher level. So we don't even know what its name is.
Yeah.
So as far as the Honor Spren that we've seen before, they typically have like wind names, I guess. Like there's a Sylphrenna, which is both Sylph and like a sylph is a wind sprite, and phrenic means of the lungs. So like she's a double wind name. I think we had a Zephyr. Was there one named Zephyr? Fandorana, which is just the ice place from Metroid Prime, and then Huyo. I don't know what Huyo means.
I mean, that's just the
Huyo
Lopin.
Is the
Huyo is the guy.
Oh, Huyo's the cousin, cousin.
Yeah.
What was Nako? I think. Was
that's just
the
name.
The called him.
It's like calling him cousin.
It literally is calling him cousin. It's one of the thousand words for cousin. But
I'm just
did we have one named
Zephyr?
Rua. His name is Rua.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
Which just might be Herdazian for wind, for all we know.
It could be Italian for wind, for all I know.
Sure.
It's not German. German for wind is Wind, as in Verleitet so spät durch Nacht und Wind.
All right.
Bless you.
I believe you mean Gesundheit.
There was definitely a lot in this first 5 chapters of like, what the heck's going on? And it doesn't help that Nomad can't communicate with any of the other characters right now, but he does have Aux to talk to.
Okay, I found the thing. First off, the part where the Spren keeps referring to himself as the knight and Nomad as the squire, I was like, That's a Skybreaker thing, right? But then Nomad says, I thought that my oaths overrode that aspect of the torment. I'm sorry, Nomad, but what oaths? And I was reading that as, like, which oaths? Like, are we talking about Windrunner ones or Skybreaker ones? Yeah, that's what made me think that. But then I immediately forgot to keep thinking that because I was distracted by the fact that this is Mad Max in a Cosmere setting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has been told to us that you can bond with more than one different Spren.
Yes, that has been told to us.
Speaking of Mad Max, have you guys watched Furiosa?
I have not.
Not yet.
It's really good.
All right, anything else that we have for this week?
Are you out of things, Craig?
I have a lot of bullet points, things. But I don't really need to go through them. You guys hit most of them.
Okay. I don't have anything else.
Yeah, this is fun. It's neat that I'm the only one who knows, so I can, like, ask certain questions, but I want to be careful. I don't want to guide too much. Let you guys figure it out. Enjoy the ride.
So
we were going to have a theory time. I guess we already did that. It is theory hour with our novice readers.
Oh,
go,
theory craft. My theory is that Nomad is Sigsel.
All right, good theory.
I mean, we've pretty well established that skipping is what I described, some interesting new way to travel without going by way of the cognitive realm.
Yeah.
Which makes it very, very interesting and useful for the Cosmere moving forward.
Yep. Very expensive.
I don't know.
20,000 BUs is a lot.
BUs! I'm very curious to learn more about it because, like, mechanically, how does that work? We don't have anything else that's even sort of like that. Like, the closest we have to being able to travel is just going to the cognitive realm without having to use a portal.
Yeah.
One of them things. You know, the word I'm trying to think of
here.
The
perpendicularity.
There we go. That's the one.
Yep.
Like, that's the best we have at this point. We have, like, physical spacecraft that presumably will happen at some point. We have seen them on Six of the Dusk, right?
Yep.
But, like, this seems to be way better than either of those, assuming that it's at all accessible. And, yeah, sources of investiture need to be found somehow. It's a mess.
Yeah, but then you have to put right what once went wrong, and, you know, it's just a big hassle.
Well, first you have to, like, at the end of every episode, you have to look in the mirror and see what you look like now and say, oh boy.
Yeah, he didn't say that.
Man, that's a good show.
Did you keep going with the reboot? Because I only did, like, the first episode.
I mean, I watched a few, and they definitely got better as the episodes went on, but I did not finish it yet. My friend likes to talk about it, and he says it was really good. I just had too many other things to watch. But there was a really good episode. I'm like, this is exactly like the older show. I'm like, beat for beat, but in a good way. Like, it's like, okay, now I'm really into it, and that was really good. So once they hit that episode, that's like the fifth episode or so, I'm like, all right, they're on the right track. They know what they're doing.
As far as, like, the plot of the book, I don't think I have anywhere near enough to even try to guess what's going on this world. Same deal. I assume that things will get a little more clear once Nomad has gained a little bit of investiture and can actually talk to people. Like, that has to be clear. That has to be fixed soon. Otherwise, this book is going to be very boring.
Yep.
So,
not
yeah.
necessarily. Like, half of WALL-E has no dialogue at all, and it's a delightful movie.
I was going to say, this book's been pretty good so far with that.
I love WALL-E, like, in general. That's my favorite Pixar movie. But they purposely studied silent films to, like, try to learn about body language and how to actually tell a story without having dialogue. Like, they did all that, and I'm like, they did such a good job with the first half of WALL-E. I mean, I like the whole entire movie, but, yeah, you can see that in the first half where you have all of that connection and communication, and it's silent. Well, no dialogue, I should say.
Okay, but also, nobody was actively trying to murder WALL-E.
Yeah, so that is true, yes.
That kind of undercuts things a little bit. If it...
The ship did at the end.
Okay, but that was after talking happened.
All right, sounds like that we're out of things this week.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
thanks for listening to Wally Cast. We'll be back next week.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Good night, Internet.
Bye.
This has been the Cosmere Deep Dive Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @CosmereCast or like us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.